Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, hooking up with our good friend Matt Mercello of the Orlando Sentinel, covers college football, and getting his thoughts on the championship game, which will be Monday night at Energy Stadium, Washington and Michigan. By the way, first time since 2014, or you want to go January 2015, when the SEC was not involved in this. It was Ohio State and Oregon playing for the national championship. Last time an SEC team was not in the college football championship game. Matt Mercello joins us on our Progressive guest line. Progressive Insurance, for a job you'll love, visit progressive.com/careers. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing well. How are you doing? Happy
Good.
New Year, by the way.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. All right, your thoughts on these two games. We had a bowl season of opt-outs and transfers, et cetera, but college football delivered on Monday. Your thoughts on the two teams that emerged and will play Monday night in Houston?
Yeah, you know, I think for Michigan, you know, this is a team that all season long really kind of has played the whole us against them card, you know, the we're against the world card, you know. Felt like they were disrespected, felt like, you know, because of the whole situation with Jim Harbaugh and the suspensions and the science feeling, you know, investigation, that felt like everyone was kind of against them. And I think they've used that to their advantage throughout, you know, even getting to the point where, you know, beating Alabama, you know, when they've been had their backs against the wall, they found a way to win the game. This is a Michigan team that I felt like all season long was kind of underappreciated. It was very good defensively, found a way to, you know, run the football, very much a prototypical Michigan type team and Big Ten type team. And they did that against Alabama. You know, they found a way to win late. Was able to get some pressure on Jalen Milroe a lot throughout the game, and, you know, was able to survive. On the flip side, you know, you look at that Washington-Texas game, Washington's a team that loves to push the ball downfield. You know, Michael Penix Jr. is a guy who probably in some cases, many people believe, should have won the Heisman, and you know, a guy that, you know, really has taken this team and propelled it to where it's at, and they were able to outlast a Texas team. So two very different types of styles of teams, and I think it's going to make an interesting national championship game.
In terms of the Heisman, real quick, we always love this. We see this in, like, professional sports where we see a playoff performance and we go, oh, that's he should have won the MVP. Did the Heisman, did they get it wrong? Was there not enough attention on Michael Penix Jr. in a world where you can see highlights on your phone?
No, I don't know if that was there wasn't enough attention. You know, I think there is an argument to be made that playing on the West Coast in some regards, you know, hurts your case as a Heisman voter because, you know, a lot of those games are on late. You know, a Washington game may come on, you know, at 10:30 on East Coast, and a lot of East Coast voters, or at least some East Coast voters, may choose not to stay up that late. But I think for Washington, you know, it was a perfect season, but it was an up and down season in a lot of ways. So they didn't play necessarily perfect all the time. And I think that's where maybe some voters would have been, okay, that's fine. I also think, too, that, you know, there are some voters of the Heisman who vote early. You know, they vote before, you know, the conference championships. You know, there's been some talk, I'm sure, that of the idea of not voting for a Heisman until after the season, you know, opening the door for let some of these players get an opportunity to showcase themselves. But I think, you know, again, the job that Michael Penix has done, he was right up there with Jalen Daniels. And I think if you could have another vote, I would be interested to see if he would find a way to win it if it was after the season.
All right, let's get to some you cover college football, and we've talked to you for a number of years, and it feels like there is something going on with the sport that either needs to be addressed or maybe altered, but I don't know what the answer is. How do you feel about the state of the sport as we go into a 12-team playoff? And I'm talking about how transfer portal is affecting bowl outs and way the people are feeling about bowls and way the players can bounce around now. Is this a problem, or is in the end the details of that could allow for a better college football setting with talent more spread out?
Well, I think there is a problem. I mean, I was at the Orange Bowl last Saturday, you know, and that was not a game that, you know, most people would think is you know, you want to see happen. You know, a Florida State team that was dominant throughout most of the season doesn't get into the playoff, and then you see close to 30 players leave, you know, over a dozen starters. That's not what college football wants to be. You know, I mean, they want to have opportunities. I think going to a 12-team playoff, you're less likely to see that happen for some of the top teams, because I think players will have this idea of, okay, well, we're in the top 12. We have an opportunity to play possibly to get to a national championship. that's going to entice more players to be there. But I also believe this is a different type of college football that we're seeing, we're getting to. NIL has impacted that a lot. You're going to see a lot of players who want the opportunity, you know, to make money and go other places. And next season is going to be interesting because the transfer portal window opens up, and it's going to be going on right during the playoffs. And, you know, it's going to close right before that. So I think there's going to be some players who have to make a tough decision. Do I stay on my team? You know, do I try to go all the way through and risk the idea of not being able to get in the portal until May, or do I jump in the portal now and not play with my teammates in the playoffs? So that's something that's got to be looked at seriously. I think the December calendar really is something that's going to be talked about a lot over the next, 8 to 12 months. Looking at, should signing day be moved earlier? You know, should the portal window be closed and maybe only have one portal window that happens in May so you avoid these kind of issues? I think that's going to be the challenge right now because, you know, I talked to a lot of coaches who said this has been, the last month is just so trying and painful to watch these players move around. You want to give them opportunities, but you also don't want to see these teams get decimated.
As college football is becoming, and college basketball too, but mostly college football, is becoming more business about NIL and transfers and better, what's better for my career, other sports have a period in the calendar where business is done. Free agency doesn't happen during the World Series, for example. So does college football, because it's also academics and getting into schools, can it move the transfer portal? Can it say, look, we get it. You kind of have to be admitted to a school in order to transfer there, but we can work with that. We can move the window until after we're done with the sport.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to. I think at some point, that's probably the issue, you know, because you're talking about we're taking a sport that's been built on an amateur model,
right,
which has denied being a business for so many years. Now, all of a sudden, we're in that frame where we're moving towards business model. And I think if you're the higher-ups in the sport, like the NCAA, like Charlie Baker, who's trying to propose different ideas, I think you almost have to look at this idea of let's look at these professional leagues and how they handle the situation. You're exactly right. Look at what Major League Baseball does about not opening, not allowing, things to go on during the World Series, not allowing business to happen during the World Series. Maybe that's something that needs to be done for college football when you get to bowl season. You know, maybe there needs to be rules, that need to be loosened. Look at the idea of possibly, allowing bowl games to offer, NIL incentives, where they maybe can play the top players to come and play in these games to make sure they're going to be there. I mean, maybe that's something that needs to be done. Maybe that needs to look at the idea of providing better health insurance to players. So if they play in a game, they won't have to worry about this idea. If I get hurt, I'm not going to lose out on income. And then at some point, if we are moving towards a model where you're going to be paying players, so to speak, then you got to look at collective bargaining agreements and maybe some revenue sharing. I think that's something that may have to come down the road. So if I'm college football and I'm the higher ups, let's say, if I was a commissioner, that's what I would start doing, is looking at these professional leagues and thinking, how can we kind of maybe find a way to model some of what that does to try to make the sport a little bit easier to go through, especially during the times of the playoffs.
We love having you on, Matt. Thank you so much, as always. We'll try to catch up with you just before the championship game. Thanks so much, my man.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You got it. Matt Mershell of the Orlando Sentinel coming on. And like we were saying, this is the growing pains of what we're doing. This is, imagine if you lived at any point of NFL history or Major League Baseball history where they were sorting this kind of stuff out, like Curt Flood and free agency in baseball, all that stuff. We are living in history with college athletics. We are living in a point where generations will look back at this period of time, this general era of the years, as the early days where we were trying to figure out how all of this was going to work. Post-COVID, when they started making the transfer portal a real thing, where you didn't have to get penalized for transferring, NIL, all of that has affected the sport. And they've got to figure out a way to work with the colleges and administrations that deal with admissions and say, you know what, let's all sit in a room and let's talk about what is obvious here. This is the business of college athletics. You need us. We need you. You get a lot of money from us. You get a lot of exposure from us. We're going to need some help. We're going to need your help in admissions so that we can alter the calendar. Because like I was saying, you don't allow Shohei Ohtani to talk to teams even though he's not in the playoffs, you don't allow Shohei Ohtani to be talking to teams while the playoffs are going on in baseball. He's not allowed to be courted by teams. There's a window for that. Free agency starts now, and it's when everything is done. Same thing with football. Free agency starts now. It's not when we're in the playoffs or we're in week 18. Now, teams can trade and all that, but you're not talking about Joe Flacco can't say, you know what, I love being on the Browns, but they might need somebody in Pittsburgh, and I think I'll go over there for more money and see if I can get them into the playoffs. Right? There's business, and then there's the sport. And college football right now has those two worlds completely overlapping each other so that the sport is being affected by the business. And they've got to figure out a way now, like he said, to state the obvious. This is a business, so let's treat it like a business.